You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
This is our second week in talking under the title Touching Heaven's Gift. It's my understanding that the ant works all summer long with one word in mind: winter. It works all summer and into the fall to prepare for surviving the winter. And many of the things that I share with you is kind of like that. The things that we share with you, the things that we try to teach you that the Lord gives us is to prepare you for what's happening tomorrow or next week or, you know, a year from now or whatever. And so I hope that you can receive it in that vein of thought, and that is that we're a people being prepared by the Holy Spirit to do well in spite of difficulties. Psalm 119, 105, you all know it well, I'm sure. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy word. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." That word engrafted means implanted. It comes from a root, meaning to germinate or to grow. That's what the word is to us. It's something that's planted, and if we'll honor it, it grows and it bears fruit. And that's the word that James chose. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," meaning a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And in Luke chapter 18, verse 5, Jesus is speaking here. In verse 5 he says, "A sower went out to sow his seed." And of course, you know the parable. Down in verse 11, he explains. "Now the parable is this: the seed," just like James just alluded to, the engrafted word, "the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have today a bit more to understand about heaven's gift, which, of course, is the King James Version Holy Bible. From last Sabbath's message, I hope you went away with an understanding of at least these two points. Number one, the thing, whatever that is, the thing that is your highest priority and value for your life, in one way or another, the thing, usually becomes your authority for decisions and conduct. In other words, that thing that you pay so much attention to, it's very important to you, has a way of influencing your life more than anything else. In fact, sometimes you make decisions based on whatever that thing is. So that's the first thing. The thing that is your highest priority and value for your life, in one way or another, usually becomes your authority for decisions and conduct. Number two of the things that we hope you went away with is, of the several needed disciplines for a true Christian, there needs to be daily reading and study of the Word of God. There needs to be prayer. That's personal communion with the Father. We must gather with other believers for ministry, both you receiving and you giving ministry at various times. And, of course, there is an important place in our life for being a servant of God. Those four things. Of all routine activities for our lives, whether physical or spiritual, the daily reading of God's Word must be the highest in priority and the guiding and overwatching source for our decisions and our conduct. Overwatching. That tends to be a military term. When people are busy doing their jobs in the military in a dangerous area, maybe a war zone or in an area where there is some danger, there are people that are positioned in key places that overwatch or watch over their fellow soldiers or workers, and they alert them to danger, or they protect them from on high with various techniques and ways. And so I say again that the Word of God must be highest in priority, and the guiding and overwatching source for our decisions and conduct. And so, the Word of God therefore becomes the highest authority over our lives on this earthly plane, which authority is never contradicted by the Holy Spirit. Stated another way, the Spirit of God will never ask you to or give you permission to say or do anything that violates the written Word of God. That is why the Word is magnified above His name. Magnified means made bigger. That is why the Word is superior in rank to prayer time, to the feelings and wishes of fellowship, and ranked higher in the things that we are to be as the servants of God. Those four areas that we've talked about. If what you think you heard the Spirit of God say, if what you think you heard He said does not agree with His written word, you are to go the way of the Word. You see, oftentimes in prayer, or you get a sense of something, or you feel some intuition to do or say something, if it violates the Word, don't do it. Because oftentimes when we have a sense of something, we feel like, well, the Spirit said to me or God told me, and yet it doesn't agree with the Word of God. That wasn't the Holy Spirit, because He won't violate the Word of God. Even He won't violate the Word of God. And so what we find is oftentimes something that we really want to do or really want to say, we suddenly have this divine sense of God told me to do this or God told me to do that, even though the word disagrees with it. You have heard from yourself, your carnal self, or you've heard from unclean spirits, because the Holy Spirit does not violate the Word of God. Keep that in mind. And that is one reason why the Word of God is higher in rank to prayer. God's Word should always be your sounding board, that which you bounce ideas off of, or thoughts, or decisions, or those kinds of things. It is to be your source of real-time and up-to-date counsel in this lost and sinful world. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That word magnified means to be made large. It's made large in both its vastness and its honor, according to the definition of the Hebrew there. It also means to be promoted. Thou hast promoted thy word above thy name. And this one I thought was particularly good for us, because it seems like we're jumping off in this second lesson, understanding that the word is to be like something that's planted in us and grows into fruition, because the word magnified from the Hebrew also means to cause to grow. Thou hast caused to grow thy word above all thy name. That's how vital and how high-ranking the Word of God is to be in our place, in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes. In Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That means stationed. Means stands, established like a pillar. God's word is settled in heaven. And today we need to expand on this thing of authority regarding the word. Listen and see for yourself. If a simple definition of the word authority fits what the Bible is to be for you and me. This is right out of an American Heritage Dictionary. The word authority. See if this doesn't really describe the Word of God as it's meant to be in your and my life as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Authority. The power to enforce laws, exact obedience, to command, to determine, or judge. It is an accepted source of expert information or advice. Authority. The justification. Why do we do what we do? Why do we say what we do as Christians? We're justified by the Word. It also means the grounds by which you do something. The word authority. Here it says a conclusive statement. And that is the Word of God, a conclusive statement. Or decision that may be taken as a guide or precedent. And the last one is authority. Power to influence or persuade, resulting from knowledge or experience. To me, that could easily be the Word of God for our lives. As we look closely at the authority that God's Word has and that God's Word gives you and me, whether you yet ascribe such power to it or not, we can see that there are two aspects of such authority. Number one, we must understand that the written Word has authority over us. And when we know its pages and we have for ourselves authority to live to lawfully live it, and declare it with power to the world. More specifically, those two aspects of authority are these. Number one, the KJV Holy Bible is the decree of the eternal God, who is its exclusive author, and it, the Word, has been published with authority to teach us, to rebuke and correct us, to set us free and freer, to give us needed guidance and direction, and to feed us good spiritual food. Yes, the Word of God is a meal to your spiritual man. And the second thing, as the true children of God, the KJV Holy Bible is also our authority to speak and to take action, or to abstain from speaking or taking some action without permission from any man or woman or government or religious institution of man's design. The Word of God as authority is supreme in all the earth. Now that last statement, what I said there means that the Word of God gives us the authority to do or not do things that man would demand of us if it violates God's Word. We've covered that at length in other series. Keep in mind that it, the Word of God, is non-voidable, non-negotiable in its authority, and it's in writing from God. If you've ever had any kind of a disagreement with somebody, usually the first thing someone in a jurisdictional situation will ask is, do you have that in writing? Now, there are certain laws governing gentlemen's agreements or just the shaking of hands, verbal agreements, but one thing that is always much stronger in a dispute is when you have it in writing. God gave us what He wants us to know in writing. It is non-negotiable authority in writing from God, and despite the fact that few, even in Christendom, despite the fact that few will recognize its authority, as we're being taught it has, it still remains your authorization. As the mind of God stated in writing, the Word of God is, in a fashion, the Constitution, the bylaws, and the Bill of Rights for a bona fide citizen of the Kingdom of Heaven. For years, more than 250 or 60 years, not counting the last many that things have deteriorated so bad, for years we could always rely on our Constitution, bylaws, or our Constitution and Bill of Rights in this country to protect us. The Word of God is that and more for you as a Christian, and it will never erode. The kingdom of heaven, which is the literal realm and rule of the Creator of all things that is now breaking forth upon this planet in preparing the way for the return of the Creator King. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou, Timothy, hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise." You want to be wise? Look to the Scriptures. "Unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That's pretty thorough a statement of what the Word of God is to us and will do for us. That's talking about the Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith," we talked about that last week, "by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." There we see a picture of, a glimpse of, the kingdom of God, of which the Holy Bible is the Constitution, bylaws, and Bill of Rights regarding. We too are to be like travelers here in this life. We're just on our way through. We're passing through. This is not our home. Matthew chapter 3 in verse 1, we read it several times over the last few weeks in a different series. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That was the message that John had, and it's the message we need to begin to vocalize more and more in these last days from the Word. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent," that means the forcers, people that are energetic, the strong, those that seize what they're promised, those that apply force, spiritual force in the case of what we're talking about, to gain the promises of God, and the violent take it by force. That word "take it by force" is really one word, and it's the Greek word harpazo, which is interesting because it is the same word that means to be caught away in 1 Thessalonians, where we're raptured. So those that know the Word of God grab what is promised, what is indicated, what we have as our rights as the children of God living in a dark and deadly world. The violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This, of course, is the result of our living the Word. John chapter 8, verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." What's the reverse of that? If you don't continue in my word, you are not my disciples. I don't want to be caught in that position before Jesus. But then he goes on in verse 32, talking about the word. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's a promise. In Acts chapter 5, verse 27, those that knew God's word, those that walked closely with the Lord, as you and I can do today, maybe not physically walk down the road to the sidewalk together, but we certainly can spiritually walk very closely to the Lord and learn of Him. Acts 5:27, "And when they had brought them," the disciples, the apostles, "they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name?" The name of Jesus. "And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, and this is something you should memorize, "We ought to obey God rather than men." That is the stand you are to take as a child of God with the Word of God in hand. You see, if you know the Word, compared to everything else that we have to deal with us in this world, you understand where you can draw a line. If you don't know the Word, you don't know where the lines are that you would draw and take a stand on. If you know the Word, you understand that you can, that you are to raise your children with proper amounts of discipline. Despite the fact that they're passing laws and such things, it would prevent you from disciplining your children rightfully and appropriately and to only proper levels, of course. But the Word of God authorizes us to discipline our children, as one example. The Word of God authorizes us to refuse certain government mandates. There's no doubt in my mind, eventually they're going to come out and demand that we take a chip. It is the law already. But we know from the Word of God, we have the authority to say, "Not for me, thank you, go away." The Word of God gives us the authority to break man's laws where they violate the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God, you don't know where the lines are that we are not to cross ourselves. And of course, as we covered a number of weeks ago, you know that the Word of God gives us the authority to defend with deadly force our own lives and the lives of our family members. But you've got to know the Word to know those things. To best benefit from what the Word of God is to you as the child of God and a citizen of His kingdom, with which citizenship eclipses all other citizenships that you may also hold. Some in here may be citizens of more than one country, but regardless of how many citizenships you hold, as a child of God, you are a citizen of heaven, and of that, of course, has the highest of value, as well as the demands of those subordinate citizenships to best benefit from what God has declared and established. You must know what is in the written Word of God. You must believe it. You must live by it and stand upon it no matter what. Those days are coming. Here in the United States, if you do not know that you are guaranteed the right of free speech, according to the First Amendment of our Bill of Rights, according, of course, to the master document, the U.S. Constitution, if you don't know that you are guaranteed free speech, you will say nothing, openly at least, when something is demanded of you that you do not like or that you completely disagree with. If you do not know that the Second Amendment permits you to have firearms to defend yourself and your family, you will not benefit from that right when you need it the most, as in the case of our present political environment, which is leading to the rapid deterioration of our country. Can those rights be ignored or wrongfully struck down by wicked lawmakers and their henchmen? Yes, and yet we ask and answer, can any man legitimately take away things that are God-given endowments? The answer is, of course, no. Even heaven says no. It's even more so the case regarding His Word. It cannot be legitimately nullified, voided, or cast aside without the harshest of consequences to those who would do that. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verse 31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away." Psalm 119, there's a number of places that speak to the power of the Word, the authority of the Word, against those that would oppress us. In verse 41, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed." That's speaking to the issue of trouble coming against us for our stand upon the word. If you jump to verse 113 of Psalm 119, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." Verse 132, "Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts." Verse 153, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving counsel. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 13, this is his great prayer, part of his great prayer. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth, which is his word. And I remind you of the trouble that three young men had with one powerful world ruler, and how they stood their ground. Daniel chapter 3. Reminding you again of what the apostles said to the council. We ought to obey God rather than man. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. This was after King Nebuchadnezzar had threatened them with death if they did not bow down and worship his golden altar, his golden idol. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we don't have to go aside and have a committee and talk about it and pray and ask God and see. We know how to answer you, king. And they were respectful. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, that we be thrown into the fire. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know the story. Really made him mad. He was about as hot as that furnace was, seven times more stoked. Some of us sat in front of a campfire the other night, as close as we could get. In fact, some of us had our shoes up there so close, they began to smoke. And that fire wasn't nearly as hot as the one that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into. And yet they did not fear. They stood upon their relationship in the Word of God. The Holy Bible is to be, for you and me, the controlling document for our lives and our land if we will acknowledge it and submit to it. It is a gift from heaven's King and intended to guide us and transform us once we become born again from above. The Word contains the precedents by which we are inspired to say what we say and do what we do as the disciples of Jesus Christ. Man's passing laws that intend to diminish or stop its power have no effect on its power. Outlawing its ownership, or its precepts, or its righteous requirements have no more influence upon its power than does throwing ice cubes onto a raging forest fire. The Word has perfect and legitimate authority over all things on this present earth, and you are authorized to declare it loud and clear without shame and doubt. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But behold the underlying truth. The word of the Lord endureth forever. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word has a lot to say to share with us how powerful, how thorough, and how perfect it is for our lives, especially in these last days. In one sense, these two messages may have felt like a pep talk on what the Word of God is to us as the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have good reason to shout, hip, hip, hooray, for it. But what you have heard must be understood to be way more than a pep talk. For your mind and heart, for your mind and your heart, these messages are intended in a very real sense and a serious way to swear in and to install in your mind and heart the KJV Holy Bible as the rightful sheriff. Get a picture of this illustration. We're trying to swear in and install in your mind and heart the KJV Holy Bible as the rightful sheriff of the land with the full and recognized authority over the citizens of the realm and others too. We don't know any longer, because we have city police departments, we fail to understand and appreciate in these days the power and authority that the sheriff has. In fact, there's a sheriff in Arizona that has drawn up a case by doing a thorough and complete and expensive investigation into the legitimacy of our sitting president as to his ability to have that office, because he's not a citizen of this United States by definition of the Constitution. He has gathered enough that he can literally go to Washington as a sheriff and arrest the President of the United States. That's how powerful the office of sheriff is. And so I'm liking, in this particular mini segment of what we're sharing, I'm liking the Word of God to the sheriff, who is a very powerful man. I say it again. For your mind and heart, these messages are intended in a very real sense and a serious way to swear in and to install in your mind and heart the KJV Bible, Holy Bible, as the rightful sheriff of the land with the full and recognized authority over the citizens of the realm and others too. That is something you and I must firmly get a hold of. It is the Word of God and for all issues. Once you can see that, then the second part of these messages is then to deputize you. Make you a deputy of the sheriff. To learn its ways, live out its righteous requirements, and to represent and uphold the immutable standards, that means unchanging. To represent and uphold the immutable standards of God, which are contained in His Word. The Word of God is in authority, and you have the authority to represent it in all aspects of life. something that you and I are expected to do by God, especially in your home and personal conduct. I remind you, Jesus said it as his ministry began, and I shared with you just a few weeks ago that it is really something that falls upon us in these last days as the children of God. Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach." That word "preach" means to announce, to publish, to show forth. "The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." You see, as we meet as the body of Christ, as you are a child of God in the body of Christ, he is the head, he is anointed by God. And if you know the Old Testament, you understand that when the person was anointed, it wasn't a little dab on the forehead, like we're so often to do today. They would take an entire horn of oil, or bag, but it was usually in a horn, like a shofar. And whoever was being anointed, they would pour the whole thing on the top of his head. And it would just go down over his face and onto his beard and onto his garments and clear down, dripping down to the bottom of the skirts of his garments. If you don't believe me, read Psalm 133. It describes Aaron's anointing as the high priest. Jesus, when he went back to heaven, was anointed by God as the head of the church. And as the head of the church, we are the body of the church. As we stand rightfully, squarely under the head, that anointing flows down on you and I. If you step away from being under the head, which is Christ, which most churches now have, that anointing is not there. They're not under the head where it flows from. But as we stand, we in these last days who love the Word and read the Word and honor God the best that we can all the days of our life, we stand under the head, and when you stand under the head, the anointing will touch you. And Isaiah 61 is for you. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. "But what saith it?" He's speaking of verse 6, "the righteousness that is of faith. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith, which we preach." That word from the Greek is very similar to the one in the Hebrew. It means to herald, to cry forth, to proclaim. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Can you say those words? If you can, you can declare what people need to hear with an anointing from God. Even if you say it in a normal voice or even a low voice. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Same word. Proclaim. Show forth. Publish it. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. That means well-timed, at just the right moment, according to what you might feel, or out of season, meaning it's not so appropriate, it's not so easy to do, but it's called for, and I'm going to share the word of the Lord. Preach the word, be instant, in season, well-timed, and out of season, inopportunely. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come, and it is now, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They were being threatened by the council and those rulers. They were commanded not to preach or teach or talk about Jesus or do healings. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. By the way, they didn't overcome the wicked one because they were strong or young. They overcome the wicked one because the word of God abode in them. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And Ephesians chapter 6, a very familiar passage. In verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's close this out. You may never stand on a street corner or go one block to the next declaring in a loud voice those things that the lost and backslidden need to hear. Maybe that's not you. But you and I can and should speak, announce, or show forth the word at the appropriate time. Don't be shy. Speak the word. I can hear some of your inner voices saying, I don't know the Bible well enough. Well, fix that. I'm too backward and introverted. I remind you what God said to Moses when he tried to use that argument against him. Who made man's mouth? I'm not strong enough of a person. But the Word says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Every argument that someone might have is no argument. If you have the Word, if you know the Word, if you practice the Word, if you go to the Word with your questions, with issues of life, you'll find the answers that you need. Oh, let's not be silly. The Word's not going to tell you if you should buy a blue car or a red car. But for the things that really you wonder about and you need guidance on, the Word is where we go. Start using and get used to using the Word of God matter-of-factly. That means it's normal for you. It's not unusual to hear you use a Bible verse or something like that. Start using and get used to using the Word of God matter-of-factly when opportunities show up in your day. Let the people around you see and know by both your actions and your speech that you are packing a spiritual badge and a firearm, in a manner of speaking, which is the Word of God. You have been deputized to use the Word. It's easy to do. You could start off by saying something like, well, the Bible says, and then say whatever the Bible says to that person that's come to mind. Or you could say, did you know that God's Word teaches us that, and then finish the thought when that opportunity comes up. Or you could say something like, in our home we do what the Bible says, and that is, and you share what the Bible says about those circumstances. Oh, here's one that's easy to do. You could say to somebody in the circumstance that presents itself, I like what the Old Testament psalmist said, and then begin to quote something, a verse, or a phrase, or Psalm 23 or something that really fits the bill. And of course, you can always say, well, Jesus taught us that this or that. Begin to insert the authority of the Word of God. Don't be afraid to speak the Word to your spouse and children in counsel or encouragement or correction. Use the Word to comfort your hurting coworkers or classmates or neighbors. You can do these very things at the dinner table, in the car, and even as you're saying goodnight to your loved ones at the end of each day. Use the Word. Get used to it. Quote it. Live it. Think of it. And of course, here is a wonderful one. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, and here's what you can learn to say sincerely, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Heaven's gift is meant to be handled daily, or we let ourselves down and also those that can be helped by it, the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for these two lessons that remind us or exhort us or challenge us to put the Word in its rightful place in our life, in our home, and that is at the very top. It is to be the authority that helps us to live our lives righteously in a way that pleases you and to be available to others to share with them. Thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord has to say. Lord, I ask that you give us boldness. Lord, that you give us so much love for souls that we don't care if others would be embarrassed that we would even mention the Bible in this day and age. It is the Word of God. And it will last forever. Lord, let there be no regrets one day when we look back. Let us have no regrets that we did not use the Word of God in every case that we could have, should have, would have, if we'd been just a little more bolder. Lord, help us to stand before you on that great day and be that you would encourage us and bless us by the way we have used your Word to live and to share with others. Lord, help us to understand it is to be the authority over our lives that we might walk in the paths of righteousness and please God. To your glory and praise, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.